and make your suggestions.
Well, I just stopped the one recording and started recording again. So this week, at least, there'll be two separate recordings, and I can designate them on the wiki which one's which.
Awesome. Thank you, Bobby. Yes, you're really fantastic on the organizational front, and it's really invaluable. So thank you.
May I say something? Hello to everybody. May I say something about the recording? Hi. Yeah. I would like to comment that it might be a much bigger audio file, and maybe people will not be able to download it and hear it in a separate time when they want to. So it might be good to separate the files, and if somebody downloads the complete file and sees it's about 2 hours, maybe he or she be overwhelmed and doesn't hear it at all. That's my point of view.
Good point.
I think that's a very valid point.
Okay, well, I suppose we've consensed that they should be separate recordings then for a host of practical reasons.
Okay, then I guess we can get started for this session now. Now, coming to the agenda for the second meeting, so we will go ahead with the antitrust policy of the Linux Foundation for the white paper before we go ahead and dive deep. So Linux Foundation meetings involve participation by industry competitors, and it is the intention of the Linux Foundation to conduct all of its activities in accordance with applicable antitrust and competition laws. It's therefore extremely important that attendees adhere to meeting agendas and be aware of and not participate in any activities that are prohibited under applicable US state, federal or foreign antitrust and competition laws. Examples of types of actions that are prohibited at Linux Foundation meetings and in connection with Linux Foundation activities are described in the Linux Foundation antitrust policy available at linuxfoundation.com/antitrust-policy. If you have questions about these matters, please contact your company counsel, or if you are a member of the Linux Foundation, feel free to contact Andrew of the group of the firm of Gasmer of the Groove LLP, which provides legal counsel to Linux Foundation. Now, coming to the discussion on the white paper, the first thing I will request everyone is to share their contact details so that we can be in touch with each other. Yeah, I mean, when the white paper keeps moving forward, and add our comments and thoughts if it's okay for everyone. I mean, maybe right now internally within all the participants, and if we are comfortable, also consider sharing over the wiki page, I guess Bobby has already created, and we do have a space where our contact details are shared. So, I mean, it's up to everyone if it's okay. So, just to begin with, I would like to request everyone start introduction with the introduction session, introducing everyone. So, to begin with, I'm Saptarshi Chaudhary. I take care of emerging technology unit of Paramount Software Solutions, and especially the blockchain drive. And we are focusing more on the Hyperledger Fabric-based solutions. And I have with me Mr. Shane Neighbors, who is a blockchain architect as well, and presenting this call. So over to the others, just to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Alfonso Govela, consultant for urban innovation and blockchain for Metropolis and Hyperledger Merida in Yucatan, Mexico.
Thanks, Alfonso.
Balvinder Tarlok, I'm from Division of Research here at Department of Transportation, California. I head a multimodal transportation research branch. Thank you.
Thanks, Balvinder.
Hi from me also. This is Sofia Terzi from CERTH, a research center located in Greece. I'm an associate researcher in the fields of energy, e-health, and especially supported by blockchain. Thank you.
Thanks, Sophia.
Hi, it's Bobby Mascara. I am the chair of the Learning Materials Working Group, so I'm here to support with documentation structure and any other help I can give.
Thanks, Bobby.
I'm Rose Schumann, and you all know who I am, I believe. I'm also going to just bid farewell, actually, as I need to drop off. But I'm very happy that you all are making progress and meeting, and I'm here as a sort of overarching resource to the group to help make connections. I know you had a question, Saptarshi, about case studies. So I'll stick on for a couple of minutes for anything that might involve me that I could help. But then I am going to drop off, I think, at 20 past. So happy to be here and very happy to see this moving forward.
Thanks, Rose. I guess we have few other participants if would like to go ahead and just introduce themselves. Okay, then we can get started for today's discussion, and we will just carry on from where we left last time in the last meeting. So going ahead, we identified three different buckets: identity, compliance, and governance. We thought to come up with some use cases and specific topics which might be better addressed by the individual buckets, and would like to enrich that and eventually come up with the contents. We also thought that maybe in the next 4 to 5 weeks or 4 to 5 sessions, we should be able to come up with the first draft for the white paper, and then take it ahead. So just to begin for today's discussion, Alfonso, would you like to go ahead and take a lead?
Yes, glad to. I already explained the basic notion of government transactions that have to comply with a certain regulation. So we've decided to put a special emphasis on that because we believe that there is enough work already started on the side of the ID. Now, although, of course, there's a lot of things that can be advanced in that area. We feel that compliance is a fertile ground for new work. Okay, and we believe that together with governance, okay, it we could say it's one of the two essential workings of government. We also felt that a combination of practical and not theoretical, but more thinking work would be useful. So that's why we want to have user cases from which we can abstract some principles, which would be very necessary in terms of building Hyperledger tools. Okay, but also have the Hyperledger tools abstraction as a way to go and look for potential user cases that still have not been developed and that might be of interest for governments, for local and national governments, or across governments in different parts of the world. Having said this, personally, I think it would be very interesting if, together with the white paper, and this is an idea I've said before in these groups, but together with the Hyperledger meetups, okay, we began a questionnaire to register what each community knows it's going on in their part of the world. Okay, that would help us build a depository of user cases, much in the line that our friends from Uzbekistan are trying to do. Okay, but we could do it on a worldwide a basis. You know, Metropolis would be glad to share the cases that we found for the publication of last year. Okay, but I imagine that, you know, every minute there's a new use case being thought of or implemented, deployed, and used. So that's the general panorama. Okay.
Thanks, Alfonso. And while going ahead, Rose, before you just drop off, I need your, okay, I got it. Okay, fair.
Sure. So, and you can ask me about it. We were having a discussion of where to store the work products, yes, information and materials.
Yes, exactly. So I guess you have already suggested that we can have it over the Google folder, where, you know, everyone interested and who would like to contribute and add their valuable insights to make the platform more richer can eventually join in and go ahead and contribute. And going ahead, I think we should have one presentation for the white paper as well for our next meeting. So
yes,
the first present. So given that, I would request if anybody is interested to go ahead and share a presentation for next week so that I can, you know, book the slot for that.
That sounds very sensible. I'm going to share a thank you to all of you, as I do have to drop off now, but I'm available via email. Email's better for me than the Rocket chat. But if you have questions, feel free to ask me, and I'm really looking forward to hearing updates. Again, for the next full group call in 2 weeks, since our time was cut short, and that will give you actually an additional working session, this one and the next, I'd like to propose that the agenda for in 2 weeks' time opens with Bobby sharing about how to use the wiki in general, as everyone should know, and the second slot should go to all of you to share progress as well as really make specific requests of the group that probably also should be emailed in advance to people so they can think about it, so that we really don't run out of time. And then the last third of the call, we can focus on Uzbekistan. Would that be helpful and useful to all of you?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Yes.
Terrific. Okay. Well, then we've set our agenda, and it nicely has made that this week folds into next. Wishing you a really warm goodbye. And I'm hoping that if I leave, the call doesn't go away because Saptarshi is now co-host, but if anybody can guide me on that, that would also be very helpful.
Sure. Thanks, Rose.
Thanks. And we're going to experiment what happens when I go, but I presume if for whatever reason things don't come back together, Saptarshi, do you have the host code? And I know Bobby, I believe.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
I do have.
So I'm going to close, but won't hit end meeting, and hopefully everything continues nicely. But if not, obviously everyone just call back in. Okay.
Rose, just a note, just a quick note. If you don't press the end session for everybody, then it won't close.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Sophia, for reducing my anxiety about the experiment. Bye, everybody. Bye. Have a nice weekend. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye, Rose.
Well, so going ahead now, I would request some topics or themes from everyone to share which they think is really interesting and inspiring for being added to the public sector. And I'll make a note of all these topics, and we will have maybe a detailed discussion on them and how does there maybe a potential synergy between these topics and the initiative we are going ahead with the white paper. So beginning with Alfonso, if you would like to share some topics from your end, and I'll just keep a note of each and every one.
Well, I already presented the general ideas. I would like to leave the floor for the rest to come in and be glad to participate.
Sure. Sophia, anything from your end?
Yeah, sure. I would like to note here that we have to make maybe a state of the art about the white papers that are out there about the public sector. Alfonso has shared a link the other day, I believe, and there are some more, two or three, that are very valid and well detailed. So after that, we will know that what's out there, what can we include in ours from this, and repeat maybe, and also what can we add, what can we further add to these white papers. And of course, the identity, as Alfonso said before, is very crucial, and maybe if we have some expertise in some specific areas or sectors, then we can grab a sector and start drafting something about it. Maybe I can write, for example, for health or energy, as I've told you that I have already worked on this. That's my point of view, and after that maybe we can start making an appendix or the titles of what we expect to include in the white paper, and people start adding the subcontents of its section. That's what I wanted to say.
That's excellent, Sophia. Bobby, would you like to go?
Yes, I would. Hi, it's Bobby. I'm going to share my screen for a moment just to go to the wiki quickly. Hold on just a moment. Just to backtrack a second from the last call, this is the wiki page where you can add your information for us to contact. You would just have to edit this information and give you word processing capabilities to just add what you need to add. I'm going to go over here. Is everybody looking at my screen?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I'm going to go over to the white paper workspace. this I added, I'm working with the people at the Learning Materials and Documentation Working Group, and one of the gentlemen in the group is Gordon Graham, and he helped write the Hyperledger white paper for Fabric, and I believe four or five others. And he supplied us with this outline for guidance for us to compose our white paper. It helps with the structure so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And he's also put in little hints as to what each subsection and topic should cover and how it runs. Again, this is more technical just to get it to look right. And he inputted some common information for the Hyperledger community, describe the frameworks a little again, and you can read this over at your leisure. Down here, points to cover. This is just, we talked about common things that wind up in white papers, and if it's relevant, you can add it in whatever section, but people like to see these things. And then further down in the white paper section, I'm a little crazy with graphics, so when we had our first conversation about the highly regulated transaction with identity floating in the background around these industries, I created this graphic. I just created this one a few seconds ago when you guys were talking about the three influential forces in our problem statement for our highly regulated transaction white paper. And then at the bottom is just the information we initially collected from Marta's survey on the white paper. So this is a great place to start putting information. We can also, if you notice over here, we can, if you want to just create a page to add as a subpage under the white paper working space, you would just go up here and hit create blank page and it would come as a subsection. So you could have a white paper working space with your name on it. You could have, I don't know what I just did, a white paper working space for the different topics we're covering, and you would just write the topic in there. Let me just get out of that for a second. Again, just to recap a little bit about what we've talked about, from what we started with the highly regulated transaction, and I know a couple of weeks ago we talked a little bit about the white paper and energy consumption, conflict areas, and how we were going to focus maybe a little bit on energy. And I think we've whittled that down a little bit to the transportation sector. Again, I'm not sure where those buckets come in for compliance and governance, but that's something to discuss. So I hope that gets us started a little bit with where to put the information for now. Again, it's right there on the white paper workspace. Any questions?
That's excellent, Bobby.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby. A quick question. It's login information. How do we get that if I have to enter my information in there or something? Do I need to have a separate logging credential somewhere?
Basically, it's your Linux Foundation login, and you can get one of those right if you don't have one. See, my picture is right there because I've logged in with my Linux Foundation. It's just a matter of signing up. You just get your email and verify your email, and you have a Linux login Foundation login. You don't really need to work for Linux to get that. You just need to go through the process of logging in. Right on the hyperledger.org webpage, there's a section for getting involved and getting a login.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bobby, for the brief updates. And I think all of us will be able to go through and check what we can specifically add to that. And coming next to the agenda of the topics, I would like Shane to share his thoughts as well. Shane, can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Yeah, I was muted earlier, and then I was muted somehow once again. What Alfonso was saying is I absolutely agree. We need to get a list of all of the topics that we can work with in the public sector, since that's what this is based off of. So I don't have anything specifically to add other than, yeah, I agree with him that we need to pull together because there's a lot of stuff in the public sector that can utilize this, and we just need to get a good list that we can work with.
Okay, thanks, Shane. And if I get it correctly, Balvinder has shared a couple of interesting cases, like the inter-ticketing system, which is a part of the transport as well as the clean energy, if I'm correct, Balvinder.
Yes, and moving forward, I'll add some more to that list, which include the document retrieval systems or maybe active transportation or maybe one-stop shops for grants. So I'll add once I get an access into the wiki page or maybe share with the group how to go. Broadly, the topics, I may not be very technical into how to achieve that. Maybe that's where the team will pitch in and help to develop it further. Two points I wanted to make. One was about the risk, and second was handling a correction of a record. I know blockchains, once you do that, it's permanently etched into that, but as Alfonso did allude to that some time back, that we have identity, compliance, and governance. In either of these three, there needs to be built-in mediums of possibility of rewriting a code, even if it happens to be etched in a blockchain. Somebody can look at it and see that it was changed and it's there on the blockchain, but that handling of a correction, should there be a need into the future, that would be very important. And second, is the risk aspect of it. Government is a working machinery, and people don't like something which is working. To have some new thing that could endanger their working. So what happens is, in this, how do we manage that risk would be new opportunities where we are having. So if we could focus on those, so that way it doesn't endanger the existing system. So that would be the other thing which I would like to point, and how we incorporate into the white paper, I do not know, but maybe the group can provide their input on that. So these are the two points I wanted to make. And as I mentioned, I'll add the topics which are interesting from the government sector. I'll add that to the group. Thank you.
Thank you, Balbinder. I'd like to say that the two things are extremely relevant, not only in terms of strategy for adoption of the tool, but in terms of operation, okay? And I think that we should really look into how to prevent this endangering circumstances and how to handle corrections. I think those are issues that fall within the governance part, okay? Because it's governance of the network that we're creating, but the blockchain, but also governance, it would link with the governance of the government, okay, we are serving or supporting.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I heard. I understood when you first mentioned, and that's really heartening to know, because if we have that flexibility of going back and editing a record, even though we have to, it may be etched that, okay, so-and-so did amend that record and it's on the blockchain, that's okay. But if you don't have that flexibility, and that people will be very hesitant to do that change because things change all the time. Like you mentioned, even for the white paper, you mentioned instead of having a living document, we will have different versions. And it's the same thing with the blockchain also. On operational side, you will have different things changing, and a user would need to amend based on the operational needs. And that needs to get documented in the governance. Who was the person who authorized, or what was the compliance transaction followed before that change was implemented? And that goes on the blockchain also.
Right, but in the blockchain, you have conditions that can change over time. Okay, an example would be a land title. Okay, the piece of property remains in the real world until it's modified. And so the property of that land changes hands. So it, in a way, that's an update. Okay, so corrections generally would be updates. Okay,
yeah, but that's a very good way of putting it.
We would have to talk about protected ways of updating the blockchain. It is immutable, but it is it can evolve over time because properties can be transferred.
Thanks, Balbinder and Alfonso, for the updates. And I think we also have Mr. Alexander Doronin in this meeting today. So, Alexander, would you like to go ahead and share some thoughts from your end? Okay, just don't have the connection. So anyways, going ahead, what I think on behalf of Paramount, we have been working in the public sector and we have been doing an extensive survey as well. Coming to the public sector, some of the areas in some countries, the governance of which falls under the realm of private industry, these are taken care of in the public sector in some geographies. So we thought of considering and going ahead primarily with the land entitlements, which Alfonso has shared with us. And also we considered the credit policies for agriculture and farm-related activities for the value chain actors. So I think the next meeting when we have, we will be going ahead and giving a brief demo on that, exactly on the concept of land entitlements as well as the agri credit policies. And we would equally encourage everyone to come up and share their concept, use cases, and others for the presentation for the upcoming weeks. So any specific presentation or concepts or something you would like to share, please feel free to update us, and we will be booking your slots for the next meetings.
Saptarshi?
Yes.
I have a question because, the question is, how do we invite and include new members for this white paper group? And I should have asked before it rose, for the public sector and social impact, special interest group. I'm asking this because Emmanuel Noah, which is a bright guy from Ghana, he is very much interested in being part of both groups, and I would very much like to invite him to participate. He did the land registry system for Accra in Ghana, and he's part of the World Bank group on land. And he's also working on the Africa Digital Assets Foundation. So I think it would be a very good member of this group. But how do we proceed? Is this a...
Hi, it's Bobby.
Yes, Bobby.
I put a link in the chat to both, well, right now just to one, but now to both of the pages that you would direct your gentleman for whoever would like to join the group to go to. And once they are on that page in the link, they select the button that says join group and they're on the mailing list.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby, for sharing this. And going ahead with the topics now, I think we have come up with a few pointers and few topic suggestions from everyone. So we will try to incorporate that in the white paper frameworks that Bobby has just shared with us and demonstrated on how to go ahead and do that. And for the discussion today, let's begin with the part of identity. So I would like to request Shane to start and have his thoughts on the identity part. What are the prerequisites to go ahead and contribute from the identity perspective? Shane?
Now you're talking about personal identity on the blockchain?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the topics that is going to be discussed quite often because there's issues with actually storing PII within a blockchain and having that information cross border internationally. I know there's countries like France and Sweden that do not allow any personal information to be outside of the country's boundaries. So my thought initially behind this is, and I've talked with a company called R3 out of New York that was working on this exact solution with Recorda blockchain. And what has been discussed is actually creating an identifier that will identify that person within the country. And it would have to be something that would end up going back through the government, basically a governmental blockchain that would identify that individual back into the system through a number. That way, no personal identifiable information ever leaves the country's boundaries. But that's the one thing that, we got to take into consideration when you start looking at information. I know that we talked about Juan Alfonso, and that's something that's, definitely going to have to be taken into consideration when you start talking cross-country borders and having a blockchain that actually goes across both boundaries. So that's my initial thought. How we're going to implement that, that's a totally different ball of wax. That's something that's, you start getting government agencies or creating individual companies that actually reside within the country that can do identifiable information, but thus allowing not actual information about the individual to leave the country's boundaries. So I would appreciate anybody else's thoughts on this.
It's an issue of interoperability and privacy protection.
Yes. Yeah, essentially you need an identifier that identifies a person via a number that really does not provide any personal identifiable information such as name, addresses, social security numbers or any other numbers that might, you know, be used outside the United States, but something that you can use a unique ID for that person that can be transposed, but it actually does not tie anything until you go back to that country to identify that person specifically through some, like I said, some centralized database that's owned by the actual government or an organization that, you know, has got that authorization within that country to do so.
You're right. It's privacy protection, interoperability across borders, borders that might be administrative or might be national.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a very valid point of privacy, personal identifiable information, which we are talking about, should not be leaving the administrative borders. It will be very important for each public agency as well. But as I understand, there is layering involved in this with the different certificate authorities which will be identified or have already been identified. Maybe that could potentially obviate this problem, so that way only up to a particular certificate authorities have access to that information, and beyond that, it is the next level. I don't know. I don't understand the technology, but the link which Sapta Rishi had sent me, on that I had seen certificate authorities which gave a hierarchical structure whereby it makes it seem possible that you could insulate PIIs from leaving the administrative or the national borders.
Yes, that's exactly true. And there is also provisions for handling the data. I guess we have the option of private data in Fabric from version 1.2, and also we are coming up with specific initiatives addressing the PIIs in Hyperledger. So I just would like to share the link in case you guys don't have the link for the Hyperledger to go ahead. Those who are joining the call maybe for the first time. So the entire updates should be here.
So the point I was trying to make was maybe that should be a part of a white paper that insulates the data, should not leave the administrative boundary from the very outset. So that way, even unknowingly, unintentionally, the PIIs don't end up leaving the intended area, or how you call geofencing in Uber terms.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But the only issue is if you have nodes that say one resides in the United States and one resides in Mexico, that information is going to be shared across boundaries. Because as you're authenticated against those systems, that information is going to authenticate your user ID against that system, and it may hit a different node. Now, you may be able to specify, I'm not certain on that aspect of it. I'm not dove that deep into Hyperledger Fabric and the actual authentication side of it. But that would be my concern, is now you've got information that could be actually transitioned between the two different nodes that could contain PI. So.
And again, that's where I was saying that if in the white paper itself, when we are tackling the identity issue, we very clearly specify the PIIs in no form will be leaving. For example, my use case requires not to cross the administrative boundaries. So it will not leave the administrative boundaries. Or for example, if it is for a police database, it does not leave the national boundaries. Or for that matter, if it is an Interpol boundary, it does not leave so-and-so boundary. So that needs to be specified upfront in the identity topic which we are talking about, because here we are not discussing any specific use case. We are just trying to put guidelines how, when it comes to identity, we'll be dealing with the identity.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
Correct.
Okay, so we do come across the identity as one of the elements to be considered and incorporated in the white paper. And I guess we have 12 minutes to go. So before we, you know, join the next call, I would like to sum up the points that we might be interested
Saptarshi, can I interrupt?
Sure, please.
I think that in identity and following this idea of writing guidelines, which is a function that the white paper must have, I think that identity at least should touch upon three areas. People, places, and things. Places, I mean all the land registry, administrative boundaries. And things, I refer to the idea of Internet of Things, where you have transactions between machines. Okay. So it's a mixture of the three. People, places, and things. Just that's what I wanted to comment.
I think that's a great differentiation there, basically, because that way people are not going to be that sensitive to things, personal information being out there rather than if it is for people. So you need to be more careful when you're dealing with. So if you're specifying that way, it'll obviate that thing. I think you make a great point there, Alfonso.
So I guess we are able to consider identity as one of the important agendas here. Maybe we can discuss in details about identity in the next call and come with some concrete points on that. And to the other part for our consideration, just to confirm that we have the right agendas in place for our next meeting next week, Friday, we are going to have a presentation. And we are going to have a discussion centered around identity to give some shape to the frameworks based on which we will have different use cases. And in addition to this, we are able to sum up these points and we will try to incorporate and create a synergy between the different use cases that are well addressed by these frameworks. So, Sophia, any thoughts from your end on the identity part?
Well, what I was thinking when you were talking is that we're just entering the world of the self-sovereign identity. So the power will come back to the people. And what I think Sen said before and Alfonso, about people. People will have the power to stop the access of authorities outside of the nation if there should be borders between the access to identities from people from other nations. But what goes on with the machines, as Alfonso mentioned? So yes, we should definitely find out how we can how can we achieve with what must be done in the public sector about the identity. But it's not only this, it's also about the GDPR here in Europe, where we have to erase our data if somebody decides to do so, and what happens when we come to a blockchain where the records are immutable. How do we overcome this issue? So we might start thinking about cryptography and focusing on techniques that will conceal the private data. Although they might be on the blockchain, they will not be able to get access on them. That's the two subjects I was considering of. And yes, definitely we should clarify more of these topics.
That's excellent, Sophia. And now coming to the framework, when we are working on the white paper, we do have three active frameworks: Hyperledger Fabric, Hyperledger Sawtooth, as well as Indy now. I would like to have your opinions and thoughts which specific, do we go with a specific framework or how do we address the different frameworks? Any suggestions?
This is Balwinder. I'm not very familiar with the three of them, but like I mentioned, we are too preliminary or too much in infancy to know which would work for which application. Like it is something like saying, do we go private? Do we go permission? Do we go? It's too early at this point. At this point, if we could just chalk down what are our basic concerns, and then maybe we could match them later on, whether it is a particular, whether it is Hyperledger fiber fabric is going to be more suited, or maybe a combination of all, or maybe a modular in nature. So that's my thoughts on that.
Sure. I think we can do that. Okay, so we are just 5 minutes close to.
Hi, it's Bobby.
Yeah, just go ahead, Bobby.
Real quick, I know that Sawtooth is focused on supply chain blockchains, so it helps with getting product from one place to another with traceability. Indy is basically your identity blockchain, so it helps, you know, protect that self-sovereign identity. Well, you know, still giving out pieces of information you need. And Fabric is just that modular blockchain that's kind of used for more privacy and permissioned use cases. So if that helps at all.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby, for explaining that. So now with that said, I think Indy would be a right candidate to see if the concerns we discussed on the identity aspects are met in the Indy part of it. If not, then it would be time to update that or maybe get that group to take a second look at that and see if these points are already approached over there. If not, then that would be the place to start instead of because I think Indy would be a right fit for identity, because if we have something which is already focused on identity, I'm sure it would have looked at all these points which we have discussed. I was not aware of that. So thank you, Bobby, for clarifying that.
Yes, just to jump in for a moment and add to what Bobby said, of course, Indy is for identity, and it works with on top of a Fabric or a Sawtooth for managing identity issues, self-sovereign, mainly identity issues. But Sawtooth is not only for supply chain. Applications for supply chain can be built upon the Fabric, also on the Sawtooth frameworks. They're both permissioned. Fabric has some features that Sawtooth doesn't, as the private channels. You can create private channels, but Sawtooth also implements a privacy through permission policies. So we have two frameworks that we can build our blockchain applications, our governmental blockchain applications, if we need privacy and permissions. And Indy can be complementary to this and add the identity part of the complete system, the complete network.
Thank you, Sophia, and thank you, Bobby. Sophia answered what I was going to ask, which is how do we blend the frameworks? I think that would be extremely useful. Thank you.
Alfonso, sorry, I had an interruption. I couldn't hear your question. Can you please repeat?
Sure. I said that you answered my question. No, I was going to ask, how do we blend Hyperledger frameworks? And you explained it quite clearly. Thank you for it.
You are very welcome.
Thanks, Sophia. And before we wrap up the call today, I would like to take some points for the next meeting. If you would like to share, please feel free to let us know the key points that you would like to discuss on our next meeting. And also we can come up with some other thoughts that might be value additions.
Just to add something here, Samtarsi, for everyone on the call, I would like to let you know that we have also a group of smart contracts. Samtarsi is a member there, and the smart contracts working group, the Hyperledger smart contracts working group, tries to focus on use cases, not only on the public sector, but generally, and look from the research point of view and also the implementation point of view, where the smart contracts have a meaning and how can we implement them, and also how to divide the smart contracts concept from the law contracts concept. It is also relevant to the public sector. So if you know people from the business sector, or if you would like to join also this group and get some ideas or contribute some ideas, this would be great. Everything that goes there, it would be also available to this group, and I believe that we can join many concepts from the smart contracts and the public sector working group. So I just wanted to let you know for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophia.
Thank you, Sophia. You're bringing up a very important issue, which is highly regulated transactions apply on private, public, civil society, okay, even academia. Okay, so I think the white paper should consider, you know, what happened to this highly regulated transactions in different places and see the relevance for governance. Thank you.
Yes, Alfonso, good point.
Well, that's great. Really appreciate everyone's time today and sharing thoughtful insights on the white paper for the public sector. We will be meeting again next week, Friday at 11 a.m., and we will take it forward from the key values that we have just discussed today, especially centered around PII's identity, the frameworks, how to blend these frameworks, and also the specific use cases and the presentation centered around the public sector. So thanks, everyone, once again for your time today, and I guess we'll be wrapping up the call now. And thanks, Bobby, for being with us and going ahead with the recording, supporting us throughout.
Thank you for hosting. Have a great weekend.
It was a great
weekend. Thank you, Sophia. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you all. Thank you.